except by divine revelation. It is a fact that cannot be understood in detail without divine help. And it cannot be known by natural abilities and cannot be known by our mental capacities if we are not helped by God. It was a truth that was hidden in the counsels of God down through the ages and through generations, until one day when God, in His grace, chose to make it known to mankind by divine revelation when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and become man. And therefore, this word Christ in you is a very, very difficult word to understand. But a real Christian is filled with the Spirit of God, and so he can be the residential address of the Holy Spirit. And when Christ is inside of you, we are supposed to be different. This word is a very great mystery. Christ himself is a mystery, because the way he came, when he chose to move from being a God to being a person, to eat and drink and be born like a baby, it was a very great mystery. And that's why many, many, many Jews could not believe that a God can become a human. But praise God for his grace. Although Christ is a mystery, when you open your heart to him, he will come in and he become your friend. When God created man in Genesis chapter 1, He created him as a triunity, with a body, with a soul, and a spirit. He created the body, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that he breathed his spirit inside of man. And before the fall of man, God was dwelling in man. His spirit was dwelling in him. So it was not strange. And then it was stolen from him by the devil in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And God removed his presence from man and he threw him out of the garden. But praise God, in the New Testament, when Christ came and was born, he restored what was lost, because he sent us the Holy Spirit. So the incarnation of Christ was a mystery in itself. The death of Christ for a God to die was a mystery in itself. His resurrection was a mystery in itself. So it could not be understood by human understanding. But we want to thank God that on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts chapter 2, Jesus, before he went to heaven, he said, "Wait, I am going to send you a helper. I am going away, but I am going to come back shortly in another form. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will dwell in you. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So when Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit started being the Christ who will dwell in our hearts. And so it is very, very important to know that when you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart, then we can proudly say that Christ in you. And when Christ is in you, then he will do things through you that will reflect the glory of God. And I want to talk about this word, Christ in you. So Christ in you is his sovereign rule in your life. When Christ comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is his sovereign rule in your life. He becomes your Savior and he becomes your Lord because he has his presidential seat in your life. So that means you are no longer ruling yourself. You are under the leadership of this man called Christ inside of you. He takes over. I remember one time when President Museveni came to Kavale many years ago. There is a man called Nzei who owns Pepsi Cola. So he decided to stop sleeping in the presidential inn. He decided to sleep at Nzei's house. So when he went there, not as a visitor, but he went there as a president. But because he was living in Nzei's house, he was a resident in Nzei's house, but he was also the president of Nzei. So Mr. Nzei could not cook without asking him what he wanted to eat. He could not do things without asking. He could not have visitors to come and visit him without letting the president know that he was having visitors. Although Nzei's house was his house officially, but the moment the president came to sleep there for 3 days, he was not only a resident in that house, he was also the president of that house. So when Christ comes inside of you, his sovereign rule takes over. He changes your character. He changes your behavior. You can't do anything without asking him. And when you see people behaving contrarily, you know Jesus is resident but is not a president of their lives. Christ in you means the imperial sovereignty of Jesus Christ over your life. You are like when Britain was leading us. We were under colonial rule. Once Jesus comes into your life, he takes over. You surrender everything that you have. Christ in you means he's filling you with his wonderful presence. At the moment he comes inside of you, his presence comes with you. And I always like Moses. Moses was asked by God in Exodus 33, God asked him to ask him one thing. What do you want me to do for you, Moses? I like Moses. Moses said, I want your presence to go with us. God said, but you know, I am a terroristic God. Your people are very stubborn. If I go with you, I will kill them. Moses also, he said, okay, if you are not going with us, we are not living. I am not living here. I did not give birth to these people. If you don't, your presence doesn't go with us, I am not going to go. And the first time God obeyed man, God obeyed Okwe Karakasa Kwa Moses. And he said, okay, I am going to go with you, but I am going to go to give you an angel. Moses said, no, I don't want a substitute. I want your presence. So God obeyed Moses' plea and said, okay, I'm going to be a pillar of light during the night. I am also going to be a cloud during that day. And for 40 years, God fulfilled his promise. So his mighty presence went with them. And if you read about Joseph, you also discover from Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 50, there is a word which comes over and over, and it says the Lord was with him. So Christ in you is the presence of God in your life, and each one of you needs God's presence because you are assured of God's security, maximum security. You are assured of your self-worth being secure. You are assured of your significance being great. And Moses also told God, he said, God, you have asked me, let me ask you as well. God said, what do you ask? Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. God said, but you are asking very difficult things. Nobody has ever seen me and live. You will die. But he said, however, there is a rock on the top of the mountain where you can hide and you can see my face. And so Moses went up the mountain and God hid him in a rock. And it was through the holes in that rock that Moses was able to see the back of God, and he was filled with his glory. And when he came from the mountain, he was glittering like gold. So the presence of God inside of you does not go alone. It goes with his glory. So you need his presence, but also you need his glory. Because his presence will enable you to reflect his glory. The two go together. Christ in you means he enters into us and becomes our life. So it becomes part of you. When you are a Christian, Jesus becomes part of you. He becomes your companion. Christ in you means that his power is in you. So you start demonstrating his power through what you do, through what you say. You command things, they happen because the source of power is inside of you. You command demons, they start screaming and leaving. You lay hands on people, they start getting healed. It's not you, but Christ in you, working through you. So it is Christ in you, working through you, that powers and miracles and wonders start happening. Christ in you means we are spiritually rich. Because when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit comes with a package. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God cannot love you and then he comes empty-handed. Never. He comes with a package. And the package is full, according to 1 Corinthians, gifts of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, then you become rich in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you remember, God also said, silver and gold belongs to me. So once you have him inside of you, silver and gold also is one of the packages. Christ in you means honor and glory. When Christ is inside of you, he gives you favor. He gives you honor before men, honor before God, and glory. That is part of his package when he's inside of you. Christ in us dwells in our hearts. The Bible says that our hearts become temples of the Holy Spirit. So, my brothers and sisters, it is very, very important. But I want to say something about who is the Christ that dwells in you. This is a very important question many people ask. I want to tell you that Christ, the one who dwells in you, is an awesome, incomprehensible, sovereign, omnipotent creator, a sustainer of the universe. He is such a powerful, powerful, powerful God inside of you, Jesus Christ. So when he's inside of you, you are unstoppable, you are unshakable, you are untouchable, you are unmatchable. This Jesus inside of you is the image of the invisible God. So the image of God that was stolen from you in Genesis is restored. This Jesus is the firstborn of every creation. He's the first, he's the last. This Jesus is the one true God who created all the heavens and all the earth. He is the creative Jesus. He created all things. This Jesus is a King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And the Bible says that this Jesus is the head of the body, which is his church. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. So the one who is inside of you is greater than the devil who is in the world. So the one who is in you is a very powerful person. And once he is in you, then you are secure. Then nothing can stop you. Does Jesus have preeminence in your life? Does he have preeminence in your career? Does he have preeminence in your studies? Is he King of kings over your family? Is Jesus having power in your dating, those who are in relationships, in your friendships? This Jesus we are talking about is a mighty and glorious God. He's greater than any other power. So what does Christ in you do when he's inside of you? So Christ living in me makes my physical body the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The moment he's inside of me, my body becomes the temple of God, and therefore I must have time for him, therefore I must worship him, therefore I must praise him, therefore I must bring an offering to him. Therefore, the very thing you do here in this temple, in this church, Christ inside of you, they are the very things that we are supposed to do to this God. The true and greatest glory does not come from the building, but from himself filling the building with his glory. So your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you begins a process of transformation. The moment he comes into your life, he starts transforming you into his likeness. He transforms your character to be like the character of Christ. He transforms your words. Your words become the truth because it's the way, the truth, and the life. He transforms your thinking. Instead of worldview, you come to biblical view. Instead of political correctness, trying to please everybody, you go for biblical correctness. He transforms your marriage. He transforms your work. He's a transformer. That's why the Bible says that when Christ is inside of you, then the Bible says that you become a new creation. Your life is changed. But today we have so many people who claim they are Christians, but they are not. They are Christian suspects. Because they come to church, so they are suspects. Because they give, so they are suspects. Because they sing, they dance, they can even go for another night, but they are only suspects. They are not true Christians. A person, when Christ is inside of you, he begins a process of transformation. Transforms your mind, transforms your eyes, transforms your ears, transforms your mouth, transforms your stomach. You can't just eat anything. You can't just fill God's temple with alcohol, with waraji, with omuramba, with all sorts of drugs. And you can't start using your body for sexual immorality. It is the temple of God. You can't just say anything, stand in front of people and lie and lie. You can't. He takes over your whole body. A process of transformation. If you are not transformed, you are a Christian suspect. You behave like Christians, but you are not. Because once Christ is in you, a process of transformation begins. Christ in me empowers me to live righteously. So the way you live, you start living a righteous life. 1 Corinthians 6:17. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive. And so righteousness becomes your portion. So if you are not living a righteous life, you are living a wicked life. You are living a reckless life. You are living a life without breaks. Christ is not inside of you, and you are about to crash. Christ in me is the key to submitting to the lordship of Christ. That means that I obey Christ, I don't obey man. If there is a conflict between God and man, I obey the one who is inside of me. If they bring 200 million to steal, I need food for my children, but Christ says, you shall eat for what you have worked for. Whom do I obey? Do I obey my son, my wife, who is putting me pressure to take the child to school and steal this money? Or do I obey Christ and my son can delay to go to school, but I don't become a thief? And I don't start lamenting and say, Christ, you also see, I don't have school fees. This man is giving me the money, so I have to go to bed with him because I need fees. So when Christ is inside of you, whom do you obey? Do you obey Christ or you obey? When culture comes and culture demands you to submit to culture, but Christ is above culture, whom do you obey? Even when politicians come and they are forcing you to do this, but spiritually, whom do you obey? That's why we had Uganda Matters. Christ in me is the key to victory over the devil. So when the devil comes to fight you, already you have Christ in you. Christ in you is a weapon of mass destruction. Christ in you is bigger than any other guns you see being displayed. He is Mr. Superpower. Shout it loudly. Superpower. Beat louder. Superpower. Jesus Christ. Superpower. Superpower. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These guns you see, they are going to run away and leave the guns. I have seen on television big generals running away, leaving the guns. But Christ inside of you, is greater than the devil in the world. Christ in me anchors my life in God's love. When you are, Christ is inside of you, he assures of you that God loves you unconditionally. God loves you continuously. God loves you patiently. God loves you. I will never forget my wife. One day she told me, "Darling, I love you patiently." I said, "I beg your pardon." "I love you patiently." Said, "If it was not that, I would have left you long ago." But Christ in me empowers me to love you patiently. Being a faithful steward of the mystery of Christ. Also, when Christ is inside of you, he makes you a steward. You know that what you are carrying, what you are keeping, is not yours, it belongs to God. So experiencing the reality of Christ in me empowers me to achieve unity of the faith with other believers. So I know that believers are not only Anglicans. I believe in the communion of saints. And all the saints are not Anglicans only. Every Sunday we say, "I believe in the communion of saints." Are saints only Anglicans? No. "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." Are Anglicans going to be forgiven only? No. It's also experiencing this reality of Christ in me causes me to take more seriously the importance and purpose of my body. To know that my body is the temple. Christ in me explains why sometimes I experience civil war in my life. This understanding also gives me an opportunity to share what I believe. Experiencing the reality of Christ in me empowers me to have victory over the powers of sin in my life. Experiencing the reality of Christ in me allows me to access the resources which God has put forward for me. So, my brothers and sisters, it is very, very important to have Christ living inside of you. And I always say, you can personalize that word for any need you have. For example, I don't know what needs you have, but you can say, "Christ in me, the hope of the visa." One time I was denied a visa 6 times to go to UK. I read this verse. I went and said, "Christ in me, the hope of the visa." I went repeating it until to the British embassy. And when I reached there, God did a miracle. I went to England, I got a visa. When I was going the following day, "Christ in you, the hope of your visa." Those of you who are not married, "Christ in you, the hope of a husband." Bachelor of husbandology, the hope. Those who don't have jobs, "Christ in you, the hope of the job." Those of you who don't have money, the hope of you, Christ in you, the hope of the money. "Christ in you, the hope of healing." "Christ in you, the hope of a car." "Christ in you, the hope of a protein Kampara." "Christ in you, the hope of winning elections." "Christ in you, the hope, the hope, the hope, the hope, the hope." You can put anything you want and personalize it. And God does not lie. When he promises something, he will do it for you. Let me end with the word "hope of glory" briefly. But when Christ is inside of you, he doesn't only cater for your earthly things here, but is also the hope of glory for things that is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A full glory of the inheritance was a hope to be realized when Christ should come. So the glory that we are going to have is the everlasting life that we are going to enjoy forever and ever. The glory that is going to come is when God empowers us and he releases favor in us and we live glorious lives. Today you are a wicked man. Tomorrow you are a man who is honored by everybody. Your glory is lifted from a chicken anointing to an eagle's anointing. You are moved from a pussycat anointing to a lion's anointing. So the hope of glory is a hope of promotion going further. The hope of glory is getting glorious in your life. And have our own go, he adds more glory. So every day, Christ, once he's in you, he adds more blessings, he adds more and more. And it's also a hope of our inheritance, because when we die, we leave every inheritance here. When we go across the valley, we shall have another inheritance of a new world, of a new life. The Bible says we shall shine like the stars forever and ever. And so this becomes an eschatological glory. There is also glory that you are going to get when you die. And some of you are seated here. You are not planning for eternity. And I was this morning reading my book, which I am writing, Finishing Well. One of the things I am writing there is people fear to retire. Most people fear to retire. They even change the age. They even do this because they have not prepared for their retirement. But I tell you, there is an eternal retirement. Shout it loudly. Eternal retirement. You will one day retire. Either you will collapse in the church and die, or you will be hit by a car, or you will die of coronavirus, or you will... But one day, you will retire from this body, retire from this world, retire from your farms, and retire from your offices. So the retirement, if you don't prepare for it now, where you will live forever and ever, either you will retire in hell or you will retire in heaven, the choice is yours. You need to prepare for your retirement. I retired recently when I was 55. The whole of Chambogo University, they said, "What?" I also wrote to the Archbishop and retired from the church. He said, "Where are you going?" I am ready to retire, because I prepared for my retirement. So, if you want to get that glory of eternity, you must begin saving for your retirement. You must begin insuring life insurance in Christ. You must begin preparing where you are going to retire. It's now or never. There is no age, any time, any age, you can have eternal retirement. The Bible says, blessed are those who die in Christ. Not those who die around Christ. Not those who die behind Christ. Not those who die besides Christ. But those who die in Christ. And now, the Bible is telling us that Christ in me, the hope of glory. I pray that today, Christ will be in you. That is the beginning. Let me repeat it. Christ in you is the beginning. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And remember, there are two things: the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You don't only get born again and receive Christ's kingdom inside of you. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those two things are very important. I hear most of the pastors talking about seek ye first the kingdom and you will get other things. But there is also his righteousness, which means you receive Christ in your heart. And then righteousness means you also live Christ through you. The acts of righteousness, your character, your life, your behavior transforms the world. That's why God told Abraham that through you all the nations of the world shall be blessed. So it is you receiving Christ inside of you, and then Christ will transform you and works through you. So to you and through you. Shout it loudly. To you and through you. So he comes inside of you, his kingdom reigns in you, and then through you, he does acts of righteousness. That's why the Bible says, blessed are those who die in Christ, they have ended their labor and their works. Do what? Go with them. Shout it loudly. And their works. Go with them. A bit louder. And their works. Go with them. If you are just saying, I'm going to get born again and then live a crazy life. No. Blessed are those who die in Christ and their works go with them. So my brothers and sisters, I'd like to end here, but I'd like to challenge you. Seek first things first, Christ in you. And then he will give you a hope of glory. Some of us, we want glory, but we don't want him in us. The two are inseparable. I was telling my wife this morning, I said, if you wake up wearing your blouse or your underwear on top of your dress, what will people in church call you? She said, they will call me mad. And that's what most of you are seated here, you are doing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some of you, you are seeking first going to church, seeking first being a church warden, seeking first being a canon, and you are like a man wearing an underwear on top of his trouser. In front of the angels, you are mad. So I want you today to get that word in. Let Christ come inside of you, Christ in you. Dress properly and his righteousness, and then the glory and honor and power will come. And I want you to prepare now, because tomorrow you are not sure whether you will get the inheritance that Christ is talking about. So my question is, do you have Christ in you? Some of you have been having Christ in front of you. Some of you have been going Christ behind you. Some of you, Christ just around you. But the Bible is saying Christ where? In you. And he will be the hope of every glory you want to be, both now and tomorrow. I pray that today you will make a good choice by choosing Christ. And once he comes inside of you, he brings everything. He puts all things together. He connects the whole body. Without him, you can do nothing. Let's stand up and we pray together. Just put up your hands and say this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come into my life. Fulfill your word that Christ in me, come inside of me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior and be my friend. Today I surrender totally to you. I surrender my mind. I surrender my heart. I surrender my body. I surrender my work. I surrender everything that I am to you, Lord God. And I pray that your presence will be with me always. I pray that I will see your glory and that I will reflect your glory in everything that I do. And when I die, I pray that I will enter into the final glory that will be mine forever and ever. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give a big hand clap for them.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Let's give a hand clap to the Lord for this message.
Hallelujah.
Shall we appreciate the vessel of the Lord?
He has perfect.
Thank you.